No Game Plan podcast with your host Stephanie
and Eduardo,
and this is a podcast where we round up the weekly events and we have a little natter about it.
Yeah, we're coming on to episode 5.
Episode 5.
I know, time goes flying when you're having fun. Well, how does it go? Time flies when you have fun.
Yeah, but I like your version better.
Well, I'm having fun. Are you having fun?
I assure.
Are you guys having fun? So, right, the first topic of this week's episode.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about something sad, but also happy in a way.
Go on.
Stan Lee died.
Oh, I know, on Monday.
I know, it's really sad. Was it on Monday?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. You remember better than me. Yeah, he died, which is really sad, obviously, but also just happy, like all his legacy. I mean, I don't know if you're into comics. I know you're into the films, but are you into, you know, the actual
no.
activity of reading comics?
No.
I was a little bit when I was growing up, and that's super nerdy, but that, who cares?
The only thing I know about comic books is through you.
Yeah, I mean, and through films, right?
Well, yeah, films, but sometimes they're just copies. And the way I think of Stan Lee and film, it's like Harry Potter. They changed it a bit, didn't they?
Yes, I mean, the films are changed a bit, of course, but...
They just took the ideas.
But yeah, I mean, growing up, even though you didn't read comics, did you have a favorite superhero?
Yeah.
Who was it?
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman. Oh, you got the wrong side of the stick. Stan Lee is Marvel and Wonder Woman is from DC.
I get very confused as to who's who.
Well, DC and Marvel were the two big houses that did comics.
Am I right? If I listen, will you tell me if I'm right? Did Stan Lee create Spider-Man?
Yes.
Black Panther?
Black Panther, yes.
X-Men?
X-Men, yes.
Fantastic Four?
Fantastic Four, you're right.
Batman?
No, that's DC.
Oh. Hulk?
Yeah, that's Marvel.
Avengers?
Marvel.
Venom?
Yeah, Venom is part of the Spider-Man universe, so yeah, Marvel.
So who's Batman then?
Batman is DC, so just think about Batman, Wonder Woman, Flash.
Flash, ah!
Not Flash Gordon, Flash. Oh. Yeah, that's good, but no. So yeah, Flash, Aquaman.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's DC.
Right.
But obviously, because Stan Lee passed away, we're going to concentrate on the Marvel ones.
Yeah, of right? course. Who was your favorite character?
That's very tricky. I was obsessed when I was growing up with the X-Men, just in general, as a series. And I did buy some comics from the X-Men. It's the only ones that I did read as a story rather than the film. But if I had to pick one superhero, I'm torn between two. I would either pick Doctor Strange.
Right.
Because he can travel through space and time and, like, you know, rewind time.
Oh, Cumberbatch. Right. Right. Yeah.
So it would be either Doctor Strange or Wolverine. I really like Wolverine.
Wolverine.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, he's like an outsider, no? And no one really understands him. But he's also very, like, he has a big heart and he cares about others. And his power, if you think about it, of course he has his claws and all this fighting, but his power is just regenerating, like healing really, really quick.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. And Hugh Jackman is hot.
Yeah, I think he's finished. He did the last Wolverine film, he dies.
Really?
Yeah, sorry, spoiler alert.
How? I thought the whole point was he couldn't.
Well, he can die. He just heals really, really quickly. But in the last film, which is called Logan, he just gets too many wounds and can't heal anymore.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Anyway, but I didn't want to make this segment sad.
Yeah.
What I wanted to talk about Stan Lee, apart from his legacy of all the films and comics and all the characters, it was that he was way ahead of his time with his ideas of sexism, bigotry, and racism. He was a super cool dude. Yeah, absolutely. He was super pro integration and women's rights. And he tried to, like, push all of those through his comics.
Right. Yeah, through metaphors.
Exactly. Through, like, you know, having heroes so, like, kids could look up to.
The whole X-Men thing is about, like, accepting mutants, isn't it?
Yeah, accepting people that are different and they can look different, sound different, yeah, have different abilities than you that might look strange, but yeah, everyone could help each other. So there's this little snippet from 1968 that I'm not going to read it all because it's pretty long, but he says the only way to destroy them is to expose them, to reveal them for the insidious evils that they really are. The bigot is an unreasoning hater, one who hates blindly, fanatically, indiscriminately. If his hang-up is black men, he hates all black men. If a redhead once offended him, he hates all redheads. If some foreigner beat him to a job, he's down on all foreigners. He hates people he's never seen, people he's never known, with equal intensity, with equal venom.
Yeah.
And this goes on for a while, but then he closes saying, although anyone has the right to dislike another individual, it's totally irrational, patently insane to condemn an entire race, to despise an entire nation, to vilify an entire religion. I think it's really
That's
good.
It's really clever, ahead of his time.
Yeah, 1968, 50 years ago.
People were very intolerant then.
Absolutely, especially in America at that time. It was a tough time.
Yeah. Oh, we've lost one of the great.
I know. They keep going.
I've always loved these cameos.
I know.
In the shows, in the films, sorry.
I don't have the exact number, but if you count cameos as like, you know, movies that he's appeared in.
Credits,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, so I think he's up there with George Clooney and Brad Pitt of how many films he's done in his career.
For all these little snippets.
I know. If you see his filmography, obviously he's appeared in that many films that he's up there with George Clooney and Brad Pitt.
That'll not happen anymore.
Apparently, he filmed a lot of cameos from films that are going to come next.
Oh, that'll be a touching moment when we see that.
So we're still going to see him.
Nice. So now for a slightly lighter note.
Go for it.
I mean, yours wasn't as heavy as they get.
No.
That was you being bubblegum and fluffy, right?
I had a pretty chilled, happy week. Yeah.
I've got a question for you.
Go for it.
Well, it's combined, actually, because the John Lewis advert came out this week, didn't it?
That's the Elton John one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my first question to you is, what did you think of it? Letdown or brilliant?
Neither. In between of a letdown.
What?
Yeah. It's not a letdown. It's a good advert, you know. Pulls on the heartstrings like John Lewis always does.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not great, is it?
Well, I'm surprised you're in the middle because people have been saying it's Marmite. They either love it or they hate it.
I don't love it or don't hate it. I just think it's okay. What I always like in past John Lewis adverts is that, yes, very emotional and pulls in your heartstring and it's very like cute and whatever, but it can be very relatable.
Yeah.
And let's not joke with each other. It's like,
no.
Every kid that you give a piano doesn't become Elton John.
Of course not. And yeah, he's a great talent. He's a great British talent. We should celebrate him. But what's it got to do with Christmas and what's it got to do with John Lewis?
I don't know. Yeah, it's not that great.
I was looking forward to seeing his film.
Yeah.
I was really looking forward to it, but I just didn't think it was necessary. It doesn't make sense.
So you didn't like it?
No. And I don't want to say that because I love him. And I was so excited for his film, for the biopic.
Yeah, but these are two separate things. You can still love the film and not like the advert.
It's just not cute enough. It's not Christmassy enough.
So purely the advert you don't like?
Also, I found out, which spoiled it for me, I'd probably like it a bit more if it wasn't for this. But apparently, the bit at the end where his grandma gave him the piano for Christmas is a lie.
Oh, really?
That's manufactured for the advert.
Oh, I thought he actually got a piano.
I know, me too. Which would have been really sweet.
Right, so with that new information in my brain, I think I'm swaying more to the not liking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was an advert for his film, that would get me really excited. I just think they've tried to mash it. Apparently it cost £7 million to make.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
That's insane.
It's a lot of money, but then they'll recoup it with all the things they're going to sell over Christmas.
Yeah, apparently 90% of their sales within the year happens in this season.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
So it's almost like the race is on now.
Yeah.
For the high street.
So early. So early.
Well, that was my second question. When's too early to start celebrating Christmas? Because people on my news feed have got their Christmas trees up.
No.
There's been a few people already saying 'tis the season. Like they've literally started saying it's Christmas season now.
Completely wrong. Delete those people from your social media.
No, well, isn't it after Halloween? After Bonfire Night? After Halloween?
No,
which
December,
is now.
December, the month of December.
Really?
Anything before December, it's wrong.
No, I think maybe like the last week of November, you can start to get excited.
Get excited, yes, but not put up decorations or start wearing Christmas jumpers or stuff like that. That's
well,
too
early. This is our weird thing about Christmas because we don't often spend Christmas here. So I like to put up the tree early so we can enjoy it for longer. But you always get upset when I put it up too early.
December. December is good. And then it'll be up for a good 3 weeks before we have to travel either to your parents or my parents. It can be the 1st of December. I have no problem whatsoever. But November is just a month. It doesn't matter that Halloween's over. There's still, you know, Remembrance Day.
Are you saying like it should be autumnal? Oh, also, last year when we put up the Christmas tree, can you remember that?
What? No. I mean, I remember we put in the Christmas tree, but what?
Oh my goodness. So in my household, like when I was growing up, my mum would put up the Christmas tree. But every year, no matter what, me and my brother would wind her up that she would send us out the room. She'd just say, kids, we've tried. You've annoyed me. You need to leave.
Yeah.
I'm going to finish the Christmas tree by myself. Thanks for the help you did. But you're just messing around now because we just start playing with tinsel and stuff.
Right.
But then last year, we had exactly the same thing where I sent you out the room. Do you remember?
No, I don't remember, but that's probably because I don't remember. I went somewhere else.
You were winding me up. You went, I turned into my mother last Christmas. We get an artificial tree. We're trying to help the environment, not get a real one. And I was asking you to part the branches in a natural way. And you were like doing them like a toilet brush. You remember? And I got really cross.
Oh, I remember. See, now I think it's repressed from my memory. It was such a big trauma.
It was so unmerry.
Well, I just was doing it the logical way. If the branch has like six mini branches, just for them three and three, that doesn't look natural. Well, because it's an artificial tree.
Yeah, but nothing in nature grows straight.
This tree did.
Toilet brush tree.
So I think this is your way of saying that I shouldn't be around for this year's
no,
tree.
No, I'm not saying that. I'd love your help if you do it right. So we're kind of flipping roles for today because I'm the one that's got a topic based on politics.
Go for it. I love them.
I know. It's not very like me.
No, it's good. Politics is part of life.
Yeah, I'm just upset. Did you see the UN report on austerity measures this
week? In the UK.
From the UK.
Does it surprise you? Because it doesn't surprise me.
Well, it did surprise me, which is frightening that I was surprised by it.
The numbers is the thing that surprised me. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that the austerity was not working in the UK. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
But what surprised me is how bad it's made the country.
And that outsiders recognize that it's cruel because I'm working class and I've always wanted the government to have a safety net for people if they need it.
Yeah.
Or, as the Conservatives call it, like a nanny state, but I think a nanny state is better than what we've got right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have some numbers.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, about 14 million people, which is a fifth of the population, so one in every five, live in poverty, and 1.5 million are destitute and being unable to afford basic essentials.
That's disgusting.
That's a lot of people.
2018, in a first world country. But that's going to pull us down. We're not a first world country if we act like that. We shouldn't be given that status.
The category of first world country or developing country, stuff like that, is purely based on GDP, which is how much...
economic wealth.
Exactly. So that means that the UK is still very, very rich, but obviously a fifth of the population are not enjoying that wealth.
Yeah.
Which makes you think, where is it?
Well, it's the quotes that were stated in this report that were frightening.
Right.
The thing that really stuck in my mind, that it said that ministers are in a state of denial about poverty in the UK.
Yeah.
And that in one of the world's richest countries, he'd encountered misery. Levels of child poverty were staggering. A lot of people who feel the system is failing them. A lot of people who feel that the system is really there to punish them.
Right.
The ideals behind them create divide between upper class and working class.
That is true. But
and it shrinks the middle class.
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean...
And now we're just seeing really extreme examples of it.
In the UK, in the 10 years I've been here, I don't think there's a middle class. Not the way that it exists in Mexico or in America.
There used to be.
Yeah, but you're either working class or you're upper class. Like the middle class feels in a way very small. The jump between each of the classes seems harder to obtain.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like you can swiftly move from one to the other.
Which it never used to be like that.
Mm-hmm. That's only my experience from 10 years in this country. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how it was in the 70s, the 80s.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's just impressive. And I've heard that some of the MPs have said to the UN, well, why are you making these types of reports about poverty in the UK and austerity? Why are you looking at us? And why are you not looking at developing countries like in Africa or South America? Mm. And the UN came back and was like, well, doesn't matter that you're the fifth largest economy.
We're the fifth.
Yeah, of course.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how big or small you are. The UN can look at whatever they feel like looking. And their response was like, well, we're looking and showing this to the world because you're an example to developing countries that are trying to move from developing to developed.
Mm. Well, we're an embarrassing example then.
At the moment, yes.
Where's all this dosh?
And offshore accounts. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm just speculating.
It's just selfish.
It's very little people controlling a lot of money. Unfortunately, I don't think the UK is the only country that is in this scenario.
Oh, no, of course not. But it's still not fair.
No, not at all.
It's not fair at all.
Yeah, it seems unfair. Hopefully it'll get better soon.
Do you think it will?
Not at the moment, but we keep fighting and everyone should do their bit as good as they can. And then hopefully it will improve.
Because at the end of the day, the people that work in government are civil servants. They're paid, their wages, their lifestyle are paid by British people. So they should be working for the British people. And they're not at the minute. They're just focused on getting the best deal for Brexit because they made a big old mess of it.
Yeah.
So they better hurry up, sort that, and then get back to helping our country.
Yeah, no, it's going to take a while.
Well, they better hurry up.
The other thing I wanted to talk about is something, yeah, as you said, we're switching lighthearted. Sainsbury's is introducing insects into the supermarkets as of this Monday.
Excuse me?
Yeah. How do you feel about that? You can have some crickets, some like...
Mm-mm.
Why not? You're the first one that's trying to be vegetarian and eat less meat. One, the animals, and two, the impact that it has in global warming.
Yeah, I do have meat-free Mondays, and I'm trying to find as many recipes as I can that don't include meat that I enjoy. I haven't cut meat out of my diet altogether. Like, on weekends, I will have a beef burger, I will have bacon sandwich. But
you're trying to cut it a little bit.
But the thing with bugs...
They won't be alive. They're selling them dead already.
Yeah, but in Mexico, when we were at a bar, one of the first times you took me over... We were sitting at a bar and you were just throwing back like cacahuates, peanuts.
Yeah.
And blooming grasshoppers.
Yeah. That's one of the ones that are going to be in Sainsbury's.
That freaked the life out of me. Dude, just these little insects covered in salt.
So what is the difference between eating, say, a chicken? It's only that you can't see the face of the chicken.
It's the texture.
Well, they are crunchy.
No.
But it's like, okay, when you eat like fish and chips, the batter can be really crunchy depending on how you get in.
Yeah, but the batter isn't looking at me with the eyeballs and...
Ah, so it's the face that's freaking you out.
And also, they have a skeleton on the outside.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird in its own thing.
Well, but okay.
What sort of bugs are they going to have?
Crickets and grasshoppers.
No.
What about the flavors? You didn't ask about the flavors. Barbecue crickets.
I love barbecue, but that's not too
far. Come on, I'm going to buy you next week.
They're going to be chocolate crickets.
let me just read really quickly. No, I don't see chocolate there just yet.
I say no.
But you can suggest it. You can suggest it. Yeah, there'll be house crickets. It can be like a snack. No, when you're feeling hungry, just have a couple of crickets.
I get it. I get the idea behind it.
You know that the nutrient value of insects is way, way higher in, you know, greenhouse gases and the amount of food you need to feed these crickets to like farm them in a way is way lower. And then the nutrient value that gives us as humans is the same as if you eat something else.
Is it actually?
Yeah.
No, are you telling me that a couple of barbecue grasshoppers is the same as barbecue beef?
Not a couple, but you can...
The same quantity.
Like, yeah, like gram-wise. Like if you have 100 grams of ground beef and 100 grams of barbecue crickets, you'll have the same nutrient in your body. You'll still be eating healthy.
I don't believe it. Or I'm not going to let myself believe it because it's super gross.
Well, you have to believe it because it's not me just saying it. It's scientists and nutritionists agreeing
in
this.
That's the worst part because I want to be a good person and I want to help the environment, but I'd rather eat vegetables than crickets.
Okay, well, there you go. Next Sunday, I'm going to have crickets next to my eggs and I'm going to give you just a celery.
Do you know what? I hate celery, but I'd have that before a grasshopper any day.
There you go.
Okay, I did this a couple of weeks ago. I am an avid reader, but I'm not a quick enough reader. I'm dyslexic. I can't read a book a week.
Yeah.
But when I can, I recommend a book. I've only just started this book.
Yeah.
I was confused in the beginning. But my friend has recommended it, so I'm going to plow through with it.
Cool.
I was confused, but now I'm enjoying it. It's called Conversations with Friends, and it's by the author Sally Rooney.
Right. What's it about?
I can't quite figure out if they're teenagers or 20-year-olds, but it's about these spoken word poets who, at first, I thought it was just like a long love lost thing where, an unrequited love thing. Where one of them's in love with the other. But then now there's this celebrity involved and there's a tangled web with her husband and almost like they're trying to network and improve their...
Where do I find it in the bookstore? Is it on the sci-fi thriller? Is it under action? Is it in crime? Is it in... What's it?
I don't quite know yet. Right. It's just very well written. I like how the narrator doesn't give you too much information. She's quite a likable person. She's quite endearing because she's very self-deprecating. She's really moody, which is a stereotype of a poet.
Okay.
She's very dry.
Yeah.
And doesn't like that her partner is very attention-seeking.
Right.
That's as far as I've got, but I am enjoying it. It's well, very well written, so I'd recommend it.
Okay. Bye. right, we've reached now the point of album of the week, where I'm gonna recommend you a super cool album.
Ooh.
This one you're gonna like.
Really?
Actually, you've listened to a little bit of it and you were like, ooh, who's this?
Who is it?
Sufjan Stevens.
Oh, I did like that one.
Yeah, it's not a new album, but it was released in 2015. Mm. And the album is called Carrie and Lowell, and it's his seventh album.
Isn't it his parent?
Well, Carrie was his mom, and Lowell is his stepfather, so the second husband of the mom.
Right.
But Carrie, so the mom, died in 2012. This came out in 2015. So it's kind of an album of him dealing with death and grief and going through all these emotions that he had of his mom passing. But all of the lyrics are super personal, but it's never, never sad. It's nostalgic, but it's never...
Right.
It doesn't feel like dark and horrible. It's kind of like a...
Some of the lyrics are a little bit sad.
Yes, but death is not a happy topic. And he manages to make it beautiful, in a way hopeful for the future, and kind of just missing mom, but kind of saying it was nice to have these moments with her. And
yeah, yeah.
Some of the topics are about the family trips he used to do with his mom.
Oh, nice.
That's the lyrical content of the album. But also musically, it's beautiful. I mean, you've heard a couple of tracks. You know, it's just,
yeah, it was really pretty.
I think there's almost... I want to say that there's no drums in the whole album. It's just very mellow, just guitars.
None.
I don't think so. I could be wrong. But at least the first half of the album, maybe there's a bit of percussion, you know, a bit of shaker here, tambourine.
Right.
But not a full drum kit in the whole album.
I don't normally like music without drums. You always say that you think the only reason I like a song is when the drums come in.
Yeah, you do like stuff that is very rhythmical.
Yeah, yeah, I do.
Yeah, like upbeat.
Dance.
But when I play you this, I think we were traveling somewhere and you were like, oh my God, this is beautiful.
It was very dreamy.
Yeah. If you have to say, what type of music is this? How would you call it?
Like folk music, but with folk. A bit of electronic.
Yeah, it has a bit
contemporary
of
folk.
There you go. That sounds nice.
I just made that up.
Well, there you go.
New genre. Mine. I made it.
There you go. You could be a music critic from now on. Music reviews by Stephanie. But yeah, it's a beautiful album. And a very like small detail, but I found it hilarious. The label that they released it on is called Asthmatic Kitty.
Like asthma?
Yeah, an asthmatic kitty.
Aww.
Come on, that's a great name for a label.
No, that makes me feel so sad.
It's just a kitty that's going to be sneezing and out of breath. How's that? It's funny? No, not funny?
No.
Oh, well, that's the name of
the
label.
You got a cruel sense of humor, kid.
It's a great... Anyway, it's a beautiful album. The instrumentation is just very calm. All the songs are just sang beautifully. Loads of harmonies. The lyric content is outstanding and so personal, but as I said, making it very beautiful.
That one lyric is really sad, though.
Which lyric?
The one I can remember from the top of my head. Literally says, we're all gonna die.
Oh, yes. The song is called 4th of July, and then he rhymes 4th of July with, we're all gonna die. That's just a statement that is scientifically 100% correct.
Yeah, okay, I've got a question for you. You're not wrong. You are right. Why do you listen to music that reminds you of that?
Because it's not making me sad. It's just a fact. We're all gonna die. That doesn't mean it has to be a sad thought. It's just a statement.
Well, and cheery.
Yeah, it can be cheery. Because it means
what?
That your time here is limited, and then you should enjoy it and live it to the fullest.
And not think about it.
Not thinking about that is not going to make it not happen.
Yeah, of course not. But I just don't get it why you enjoy. And it's not just you. There's many people that are like this, that enjoy swimming in the dark stuff.
Because it's part, you need the dark to enjoy the light.
Why can't you just make it all light?
Because you'll be fooling yourself. And then when it gets dark, you're going to suffer.
Ooh.
Yeah, there you go. You
actually,
need both.
That's a good point.
You need both to enjoy it.
I can't even argue that.
Boom shakalaka. She's speechless.
Bosh.
I was going to say, before I came up with that perfect response, you love Bohemian Rhapsody. That's not a happy lyric.
True. Mama just killed a man.
There you go. On that note, I just want to recommend you Carrie and Lowell from Sufjan Stevens. It's a beautiful listen. Please, please, please play it from beginning to end. Enjoy the whole journey. And that's it.
Cool.
Thank you.
This is the section where we talk about the things we've watched this week.
Yep.
And I have to put my hands up. I've been a busy old week.
Yeah, it's been a busy week.
Busy old week.
I haven't watched much.
Me neither. But the stuff that I have watched has been great.
Enlighten me.
The first thing that was great is called Great News.
Great title.
It's on Netflix. And it's a bit of a 30 Rock type show.
I was cooking when you were watching this. Not my cup of tea, but I can see how it's good.
It's a bit like The Good Place and 30 Rock. It's like a mixture of the two.
That's a good analysis.
20-minute episodes, so they're nice and short. It's kind of my replacement for Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine is funnier.
Really?
I just think the humor in this one is very, like, I don't want to say stupid because that's derogatory.
It's daft and dopey. Dopey.
Daft and dopey. That's the words.
The main premise is that there's this woman in her 20s who works for a broadcasting company. And like any 20-year-old is struggling because she's trying to make herself look professional and she's trying to get ahead and she's kind of stuck at this medium level where she's not an intern, but she's not broken through to any success yet.
Yeah.
And that's quite relatable. But then her mum becomes an intern in the broadcasting company.
Yeah.
Her mum's this like very needy, overprotective Jewish mum who's hilarious. She's the best part of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've got, can you remember the character that Alec Baldwin played in 30 Rock?
Yeah, yeah.
So the girl has taken over Tina Fey's role kind of. And the guy who plays the broadcaster is a bit like Alec Baldwin's character in 30 Rock. And he's real funny too. It's John Michael plays this guy called Chuck Pierce, who's really funny. It's got Nicole Richie in it. She's one of the leads in it. Got Adam Campbell. The lead girl is Bridger Heelan.
Mm-hmm.
And the mum is really funny, Andrea Martin. So if you just want a feel-good, happy show, I flew through it. I finished the season already.
Not my cup of tea, but it is.
It's 20 minutes. If you
want
to pick me up.
Something that's 20 minutes and it's super funny.
Mm-hmm.
Taskmaster. It's
Taskmaster.
So I'm so sad it's finished now.
Series 7, right?
Series 8. Yeah, which is surprising that I missed all the other 7 series before.
We came onto this pretty late.
I know. I mentioned it to people at work and they all go like, what, you really just got into Taskmaster?
Yeah.
I know I'm late to the party, but it's fantastic. It's so funny.
The cast this season have been really funny.
I know. I guess you could say that this show is also daft and dopey, but obviously because it's not scripted, a lot of stupid things come about.
How they manage to get it as funny as they do without any script is brilliant.
I think it's because you're working with comedians and they're just...
They know what they're doing.
I think if you did Taskmaster with just the general public, it would be the dullest show on earth.
What was your favorite task this season? Because it's finished now. I think my favorite task was the cruelest one they did on the last episode, where they said at the beginning, if you hear this alarm, you have to stop what you're doing and go and put the boiler suit on.
Yeah.
But one of the tasks was to tie themselves to a chair so that Alex had to take the longest time to untie
them.
And then halfway through the task, they put the alarm on.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. James Acaster lost it, didn't he?
Yeah. One of my favorite ones was when they had to recreate a video game. And you got like Mario Kart, GoldenEye. But James Acaster obviously won it with Grand Theft Auto because he got every single movement perfectly, beating people up with a bat and jumping like they do in Grand Theft Auto. But yeah, you should definitely watch it on any of the previous seasons. It's just hilarious.
And the last thing we're going to suggest for Weekly Watch, we have literally only just watched one episode, but people are in love with it and we're going to plow through with it, is David Attenborough's new show, Dynasties.
I know, it's so good.
Anything that man does, anything.
Yeah.
It's just golden.
Yeah, I don't want to sound pessimistic, but whenever he leaves us and he passes away, nature programs are going to be gone. Like,
yeah.
No one can be as good as him.
He's like the nation's granddad.
Absolutely. Every time you hear his voice, you just go, wow, okay, stop whatever you're doing. I need to watch this.
He's a storyteller.
I know. And a great charisma as well, the way he tells stuff. And obviously the production values of the shows are getting so, so good now with the sound effects and everything.
And of course, they do jigsaw pieces together. Like they make a story out of it that maybe isn't necessarily as simplified as they make it.
Yeah.
But if they didn't do that, we wouldn't care. We wouldn't listen to it. They make it digestible for the public.
Yeah. And it's so interesting. And also, you know, the scenes that they get, it's just
the
beautiful.
The one with the chimpanzees we just watched.
It's kind of heartbreaking at some point.
It's like a Disney film. They tug on your heartstrings, but they always leave you fulfilled at the end and just happy. And you feel like, I'm going to go out and work with the chimpanzees. I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to go live in the wild with the animals.
Yeah.
He does make you fall in love with animals.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. I think I have all the boxes for Blue Planet and what's the other one?
The Human Planet.
Yeah, I have all of the boxes and it's just, I mean, I don't get tired.
Yeah.
Amazing, amazing show.
Have you always loved nature shows?
Yeah. I think I've always had a thing for, you know, National Geographic or the Discovery Channel.
Because me and my brother... Those type of shows was the one program my mom could put on. We both shut up.
Yeah,
we both just froze and watched the TV.
Topic, but do you know that you can get your sat nav to speak like David Attenborough? How cool would that be?
Next time we drive to Newcastle, can we please do this?
Absolutely.
Okay, now for silly bit at the end.
Silly bit at the end.
It's not actually a game. It's just a bit of a question.
Go for it.
I'm going to give you 5 dinner guests.
Okay.
5 dinner guests from history. And you only allow them for one night only. You've got to tell me what you would cook for them and who the 5 would be.
I have to cook it, so yeah. I have to have the skill of cooking it.
You have to feed them.
Mm-hmm.
It can just be a main, or it could be like a full-out fancy starter, main, dessert.
Okay.
And then who would your 5 guests be? Because this is where you've got to like combine your hosting skills with your dinner skills.
But also my guests, because they have to be characters that it's going to be a fun dinner, right?
I love the idea of Freddie Mercury. But he's a big character. He would take over.
Right. Do you want to start it or should I go?
No, you go.
Okay. Right. I think I got it.
Okay, go.
I mean, it's tough, right? Because yeah. 5, I don't know if I want to choose all of the musicians. All right. Let's see what comes up. I would choose John Lennon.
Right.
Mozart.
Okay.
Yeah, so 2 musicians from different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Then I don't want it all based in music. So I would have Neil deGrasse Tyson, the astrophysicist.
Oh, okay.
Maybe someone else, science. I'll put Marie Curie.
Okay.
Who's my 5th one? So I have 2 science, 2 music, and I have someone political, interesting. Maybe I'm going to go with my Latin American roots. I was going to choose Mandela, but I'm going to go with my Latin American roots and choose Simón Bolívar, which is a guy that kind of freed all of the southern part of the continent.
Ooh, okay. That's good. What are you cooking for them?
I'm cooking because it's a big group. And then if someone doesn't like something, you kind of have to cater for everyone's taste. And I don't know what they like to eat. It would be something that they can pick about. So I would make a big, 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 big tagine. You know, Moroccan dish.
Yeah.
Slow cooked and you can have loads of vegetables and stuff like that. With a meat, I think maybe I would do beef or lamb. And I would, yeah, just make a bit of couscous and a lot of like little side dishes like hummus and like
Moroccan salads.
Yeah, like tabbouleh
they
and stuff
so
like that.
They have so many nice little picky salads,
but just stuff
they?
That like if someone's a bit hungry, they can just
have
add more to their plate and stuff like naan bread. And
nice.
Non-Mexican, weird, huh?
Yeah, I genuinely thought you were going to say Mexican.
I'm not very good, even though you think I would because I'm Mexican. I'm not very good at cooking Mexican. I'm all right, but I really like cooking the tagine, so that's why I think I would go for that.
Right.
Yeah, that'd be a brilliant, brilliant party. And you?
I like to think I'd cook a Sunday roast, but over the years of seeing my mom do it, it looks quite stressful getting everything out all at once, especially for more than a few guests.
Yeah.
Because you've got to do it in bulk. So I think I would do something like, maybe, is it cheating if I said a barbecue?
No, that's fine.
Because everyone likes
fine.
A barbecue. You can put a spread on.
You're hoping the weather is okay for a barbecue?
I'm just assuming that I can do it.
Okay.
I would have Emily Pankhurst, the famous suffragette.
Yes.
Because I'd just want to pick her brain and I'd want her to see what society's like now and have an opinion on it.
Yeah.
I would have Cleopatra because I've always been really interested in a woman that was in that part of history that was so controversial.
Right.
My 3rd guest, I think I would have Frank Sinatra because I think he would charm the pants off everyone there.
Right.
He'd be a good guest to have that would chat to everyone and make everyone feel comfortable.
You think?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that conflict because he may start flirting with Cleopatra?
Oh, they'd get on like a house on fire.
What about with the suffragette? Maybe she doesn't like it.
No, she wouldn't. And I'd need another guest to be the buff. Oh, friend blend's always tricky.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying this like I'm friends with them.
You are in this scenario.
I need like a middle ground person to chill these guys out. David Bowie.
Nice.
David
Very
Bowie
good choice.
Would be perfect because he would love Frankie, but he'd know how to charm the other two in a calmer way.
Right.
He'd be way more charming. And then I'm stuck for my last one. Maybe we need someone funny. Is it bad if I say Joan Rivers? I think she'd break the tension. She'd be really funny.
You're going with Joan Rivers?
Yep.
Oh, cool. So you're doing, oh yeah, barbecue. What are you serving in the barbecue?
I like that marinated meat that you do. So I'd steal your recipe. One with Coca-Cola.
That doesn't mean I'm giving the recipe. Dun, dun, dun.
I know what it is.
Yeah, anyway. You know the recipe. It's not that hard.
Do that. I do chicken skewers.
Yeah.
And I would do, well, beef burgers. Tradish. Nice. Tradish.
And you need like salad on the side or something?
Yeah, like a proper spread.
Perfect. That sounds good.
I feel like I'd be judged for doing a barbecue as a dinner.
Nah.
It's not very classy.
Doesn't have to be classy. Everyone there should probably just enjoy it.
I should have said like beef Wellington.
Do you know how to cook one?
God, no.
There you go. Cool. Cool. So that's it from us this episode. We hope you guys have enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Keep listening. Keep getting in touch.
Rate and subscribe us on iTunes. It helps other people find our podcast.
Share with your friends.
Yeah.
Tag us on your social media if you like it. And then
we got an Instagram. You can come and nose on us.
What's the Instagram?
NoGamePlan.podcast.
Our email is NoGamePlan.podcast@gmail.com. Twitter account is NoGamePlan_pod. I think that's it, right? And then keep in touch.
Peace.
Adios.
Doodles.
Why are you laughing?
Lads.